Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Roto Experts Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Davis Maddock. I am joined today by Drew Dinkmeyer, continuing our series of drafting teams in the $3.5 million draft best ball championship. You can find that on draft.com, the draft app. You guys know about draft by now. Dink, how are you feeling about your portfolio right now with rumors that Marquise Goodwin might not even make the San Francisco 49ers roster?
It's been a roller coaster of emotions and news this week with all sorts of things. The Marquise Goodwin news went from, hey, he might not make the roster, to the next day that he was the starting split end and everyone else has been terrible. I have a lot of Marquise Goodwin, so that was terrifying to exhilarating. So I really don't know how things are going to shake out with all this news flow, and it's hard to follow it without being too like reactive. But we were talking a lot this morning in our Slack chat with the writers about how, you know, at this point, should we start managing exposure to players that we have a lot of and trying to like target specific levels of ownership? And so there's been a lot of different discussions. I feel pretty good about how I've built my team so far. I feel like I'm heavy on players that I want to be heavy on. I know you guys have been taking shots at my quarterback selections, but
for a good reason.
I feel all right. I will have it known that almost all of the times that I have these terrible second quarterbacks, they're usually with a really high-end QB1 like Mahomes or something like that. So,
well, fair enough.
So we'll see. But yeah, so I registered a draft now. It's 8 of 12, so we're waiting here. But I think what we wanted to do today is, Davis, you released this article on rotoexperts.com about the way to approach stacking based on kind of your draft slot in these best ball draft championship tournaments. And I think what we'll do today is we'll try to, based on the draft slot that I get, we'll try to execute one of these stack strategies. So we'll go in ahead of time knowing, based on what slot we got, we're trying to tackle one of these types of stacks. Some are more easy to accomplish based on where you land in the draft. So we'll let the random draft generator determine our tact in terms of stacks.
Yeah, to get the full onslaught, the teams that you need for the full onslaught are the Arizona Cardinals to get the David Johnson, Kyler Murray, Christian Kirk onslaught, and then also the full Panthers onslaught with Christian McCaffrey, Cam Newton, DJ Moore, and then honestly, a lot of times, probably even Greg Olson as well. You kind of have to be in the top three or top five, and I guess the Cowboys as well, though I did a 25 last night where I was picking 109 and Zeke went 108. So people are starting to let Zeke fall.
I saw someone post that they got him at 1.10. The latest I've gotten him so far is 1.07. I haven't seen him slip past that. I know you have very strong opinions that you believe that you would be very surprised if Zeke didn't play if Zeke did miss time this season. I know Anthony Amico feels the same way. I'm not so sure, but I still think in these best ball draft championships where you really need like the best case scenarios to work, I'm totally fine accepting some risk when I'm getting some ADP value, which is why I have a decent amount of Melvin Gordon in the third round right now.
Yeah, I mean, so I think Melvin Gordon is much more likely to miss time than Ezekiel Elliott. But, I mean, I get, like, certainly in the range of outcomes, Ezekiel Elliott missing games could happen. The thing that probably is the worst for Elliott missing games is the first three games of the Cowboys season, they're probably likely to be, at minimum, like 3-point favorites in all of them. They play the Giants, they play the Colt McCoy Washington team, and they play Miami. So they play like three of the five worst teams in football, and they're like pretty likely to be 3-0 over that time span. And that is not optimal for Zeke's contract situation.
Yeah, you wonder if his representation thinks about that. You know, if they think about
probably
at the schedule, you know, things might not look great for us if we do hold out. Whereas if they had a tougher opening schedule, it'll be interesting to see what the resolution there is. As you've said from the start with some of this stuff, is a lot of this stuff is guys just don't want to go to training camp. They don't want to have to deal with preseason games and different things like that. And, you know, we're recording this on August 7th and, you know, preseason games week one is here essentially. So we'll see if there's any movement on any of these fronts This is the longest I've waited for one of these drafts to fill. It got up to 10 and now it's back down to 9 and 12. Usually these have been filling pretty quickly for me on these 25s. I know that one.
This is like the worst time of day to do it, 'cause it's after lunchtime and people on the East Coast are like just about to leave the office. Like, so we're recording this at 2:30 in the afternoon Central Time. Like this is probably the slowest time of day for drafts to fill, honestly.
I'm usually able to knock out a few during this hour. I think that's one thing we should kind of talk about, though. I think there is some
optimal time to draft
edge in the time that you should be drafting. And
so, what time do you think that is?
So I think it varies also by contest level. I think in general, if you're playing these fives and 25s, and you don't have like an active social life, Friday nights, Saturday nights, like 10 p.m. or later, I think you're getting some people in those drafts that are not fully committed to the drafts.
You think you're getting some people who are maybe having some beverages?
Yeah, I think you might get some of that. I think Sunday afternoon is a great time to draft. I think in general, you know, a lot of people take their weekends, and the casual, you know, player takes their weekends and Saturdays they do something fun and they're out and about. And Sundays they might be home recovering. And sitting on the couch and not always in the greatest frame of mind either. So I think there's a lot of opportunity to drafting like Sunday afternoons as well. In terms of like during the week, I think it's hard. I think if you're drafting these 125s, it seems like late night is when all the like professional DFS players hop in and start drafting 125s. It's very hard to get softer competition there. So I think like midday. I think also if you're not playing DFS baseball heavily, right around lock times, I think are usually a good time to draft some of these teams, because you're less likely to catch some of the people that are, you know, professional DFS players, because they're dealing with their own lineups around lock and whatnot.
Yeah, I mean, I would say I do probably 80% of my drafts in between like 3:45 right. p.m. Central.
We have filled, and we got the second spot.
We got so do you want to try and do cart? Okay. You don't have any Kyler. We're gonna do the Cardinals on
slot. No. I have Kyler, but this is my favorite spot to do cam stacks.
Okay. I mean both of those are like I would say from the data perspective, our favorite stack is the Tampa Bay stack, but from the pure upside, I think our stuff likes the Panthers the most.
So this one for me is super easy as long as the person at one doesn't take
McCaffrey.
Even if they do, you can still get it with DJ Moore and Curtis Samuel and Cam. But like DJ Moore is almost always there at 5.2. Usually, I shouldn't say almost always. Sometimes he's been slipping into the late fourth. Curtis Samuel is pretty much always there at 7.2, and Cam is almost always there at 9.2. So it's very easy to go full onslaught in that situation. We'll see here, number one pick is going now, whether we can execute full onslaught or whether we go in a different direction. Yeah, McCaffrey goes one. So do you want to try the Kyler team?
I'm in.
DJ?
Yeah, I'm in.
I feel like it's giving up a little bit of value that I hate giving up value, but we can do it. So we'll go David Johnson at two.
I love it. I love to see it, especially after I just trimmed back his target market share a little bit.
We'll just we'll go with it. The Siege is in this draft, so I bet he's having a grand old time that I just took DJ at two, that he can get one of the top guys at five. But yeah, I think building in some of your teams with these types of correlation targeted. Correlation certainly makes sense if you can get to the final rounds. And I'm like DJ compared to the other stud running backs anyway, so I don't mind having a team like this.
How many, like what percentage of your teams do you think have a stack in them?
So when you say a stack, just a quarterback associated with a pass catcher.
Yeah.
Just one of the two quarterbacks.
Yeah. How many do you think has one, and then how many do you think has two?
I would guess that somewhere around 90% have one.
Yeah.
And I would say somewhere around 40 to 50% have two. If you include the idea of one quarterback having two pass catchers, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I see what you're saying.
So like one quarterback has two pass catchers, and then, the other quarterback has none or something like that. The other thing that is that I have found is for me, it's been so easy to, when I fail on a stack that I'm trying to accomplish, it's been so easy for me to circle back and finish off stacks with Ravens, with Lamar Jackson in the 10th or the 11th, Marquise Brown or Mark Andrews sometimes, Miles Boykin.
You can just do it with whoever, right? Like it's not hard. Yeah. Like, yeah. And that's why the Baltimore stack. So in that article I wrote, like, I basically was just like, this is the perfect stack because you can do it all after the 10th round. You can go I actually stretched it to include Mark Andrews, who I bet you probably have none of now because he does not.
I do have a little bit of him, but I do not have a lot of him. I have 6% of him.
So he was a guy who earlier, like, I wish this sucks that they didn't open the best ball championship until after, because he used to have an ADP of like 145 when it was just the cash games going, and now with the championships going, he goes at like 105, which is tough.
Yeah, it's difficult when. So I just have tons of Austin Hooper.
Tons. Yeah.
And he becomes a tough situation to stack. I haven't run across this where I've landed Julio and then Hooper, and you have to plan a little bit ahead because, like, you have to then take Ryan in like 7 or 8 and then know you're taking Hooper in 9 or hope he gets there in 9 or 10. It's a little bit of a tough stack to execute, the Atlanta one.
I did a full Atlanta onslaught in a draft yesterday. Julio, Ridley, Ryan, Hooper, Ito. Like I went.
Yeah, four. I like that because I think that's not going to be a super unique combination.
No, that will be a super unique combination.
Right. Yeah. I don't think that's going to be a super owned combination is what I meant to say. I think one of the things is that, you know, the stacks that you highlighted, I think are also ones that are probably going to be among the more popular ones because they're ones that you can execute without going way off.
Without killing ADP.
Yeah. Without going way off the reservation. So those ones that are more difficult to execute, and one that I would actually add to your list that you didn't include in here, but I think if you get the 7th pick, you can put together good Chiefs stacks pretty easily.
You can do it, but so the thing about that is that includes taking a quarterback in the 3rd round, which is just
it does
that goes sometimes, against the math.
Sometimes it happens in the 4th though. So and because I don't mind having multiple Chiefs pass catchers, you know, multiple Chiefs offensive players without Mahomes, I will let that happen and see if he comes back to the 4th.
In the 4th, yeah.
And if I do that, then I'm reaching on Sammy a little bit and I'm completing the onslaught. And so most of my Mahomes teams are like that. I think all of them are. All right.
I would say probably more of my Mahomes teams are like naked QB when he just happens to be there in the 4th.
Okay. All right. We're 2 picks away. Damian Williams, Mike Evans, Antonio Brown, George Kittle, T.Y. Hilton. This 2-1-1, 3.2 area. Who are the guys that you're usually liking here?
That's like the Steph Diggs, Brandon Cooks kind of situation. And then every once in a while, one of those running backs will fall to you. So it could be like Nick Chubb, they're all those guys.
So I get a lot of Cooks in the 4th because I've been having this late draft position a lot. So in this 2-1-1 area, because I have a lot of Cooks already, like Damian Williams fell. So I'm just going to keep grabbing Damian Williams. I have a lot of Damian Williams in this late 2nd spot. Not ideal for the bye week situation with him and DJ both having the same bye week.
It is crazy that Arizona and Kansas City have the same bye week. It leaves a lot of my teams empty because I take Damian Williams a lot. I take David Johnson, like all those guys a lot.
Yeah. So I took Damian there. And then this is where things start to get interesting in terms of the build going forward because we'll see what comes back to us. But it's very likely that we have a running back available to choose between like a Marlon Mack, a Kerryon Johnson, and Aaron Jones if we want. And then you're setting up the team to potentially reach on the quarterback knowing you're going to take extra wide receivers essentially with this pillar stack. And I'm not upset about that idea, but T.Y. Hilton fell and I really like Hilton a little bit more.
I prefer Cooper there, but our projections don't agree.
All right. I'm going to take T.Y. figure out the running back thing a little bit later, but I'm going to take T.Y. I haven't drafted a lot out of these early picks, and so I don't have as much exposure to these guys as I want.
Yeah.
So that's an opportunity for me to get some exposure to T.Y. that I'd like. In that scenario, though, I could have – if you were to choose between Marlon Mack, Kerryon Johnson, Aaron Jones, who are the guys you're looking – like, do you have any favorites among that group?
I think those guys are all within, like, 5 points. Our stuff is really high on Aaron Jones because we have his targets being, like, more meaningful than Kerryon Johnson's and Marlon Mack's because they're coming from Aaron Rodgers. But also it's possible that we are, like, a little bit too high on the Green Bay team YPA and that stuff filters down to the running back. Or we might just be high on yards per target for Aaron Jones. But I think those guys are all basically the same. Like,
I think I like Kerryon and Aaron more than Mack. I have no Mack this year.
He's got no pass catching upside, really, you'd say.
Let's go higher than those guys. And I think he has that skill set. They just have too many guys on the roster, and they choose not to really use him in that capacity. And then the claiming of Deonta Foreman was one that was a little bit, to me, like, huh. I think they're a team that just likes to collect talent.
They did this last year though, so they brought in Spencer Ware who got hurt. That's why they brought in Foreman. But if you remember last year, they also like claimed Christine Michael or Kristen Michael rather. Yeah. They just do that. Like it doesn't mean they don't like Mac.
Yeah, no, I don't think it means that they don't like Mac, but just the willingness to view that position as one where
you're as fungible
guys frequently, and the presence of Nyheim Hines just makes me less likely. I don't see the monster season for Marlon Mack unless it's just really touchdown driven in like a way that I think you can replicate from Latavius Murray 4 rounds later.
Yeah, the Marlon Mack 90th percentile season is like 16 rushing touchdowns and 10 of them come from the 2 yard line.
Yeah.
Which could happen, but it's not.
No, it definitely could happen. Speaking of Marlon Mack in Indianapolis, what are your thoughts on what's been going on with Andrew Luck and kind of these lingering issues of not practicing?
This is my stance on Andrew Luck is long known. The dude can't stay healthy, and I think he's super overrated. So like I don't know. I think the fact that Luck has had all of these health issues and seems to miss more time than the average quarterback when missing time cannot be viewed as like good. Like it has to be problematic, especially because they're even trying to say that in the preseason, like Brissett is not even going to play much. He's going to play a quarter in this first game, but like they're not using Brissett like a guy who they can afford to lose, basically.
Yeah.
So that is not ideal for the Andrew Luck calf situation. And what kind of calf injury is going to keep you from practicing for 4 months?
I don't know. It's very strange. I also wonder if they just realized that they need to limit the amount of throws he makes just in general with his arm, because he had
the shoulder stuff
issues last year. And I just wonder if they're just like saying with the two things combined, like, hey, let's just give him some time. But there's enough weird stuff there for me that I'll be honest. I mean, I just drafted T.Y. Hilton, obviously. Hilton's like the only Colts pass catcher I have like a willingness to like draft aggressively. I would say maybe Jack Doyle because he's been falling into like 14, 15, but I don't have a lot of the Paris Campbell. I don't have a ton of Devin Funchess. I have some of those guys when they slip, but I'm not super excited about attacking that Colts offense. I feel like a lot of their guys are at somewhat – high-end pricing with Mac, and I think Hilton's priced right. I think Luck
Mac and Ebron are both pretty expensive, I think, relative to their projections.
Yeah, Ebron's a really tough sell. All right, so thinking through this Arizona stack that we're trying to accomplish here, when am I going to have to take Kyler Murray? If we're talking I have early round odd picks, late round even picks, the way that I would love to try to pull this off is Kyler in 8. But I don't know if he'll get there.
Nah, if you're trying to do the stack, you got to take him in the 7th. You just got to eat it. You just got to take him 7-0-2.
This is why I don't like this Kyler stack as much. This is why I have shied away from it a little bit more.
I will say, though, his ADP has been going the other way as more
guys have
started drafting.
Yeah, it's moderated a little bit. And I don't think that has anything to do with anything that's going on with him. All the reports out of camp have been pretty good. So I think it just has to do with the buzz shifting. You know, I think he was the shiny new toy early on in the season.
And I think it's just that more casual people are drafting who haven't been like refreshing their fantasy football information for the last 2 months. Like at, like when the sharps were drafting early, like when it was just the hardcore people drafting early, Kyler was going in like the late 80s. And now that there are just more casual people who probably some of them have never even seen Kyler Murray play or whatever, you know?
All right. So we're on deck at 4-1-1. Usually, yeah, and he's here, DJ Moore. Is usually what I end up
the DJ Moore round. That's what I call them in the perfect draft article I just did. I was like, everyone who's drafting off of our stuff, this is the DJ Moore round.
Late four. I mean, I usually like getting a mid five, but if you're late four, like the guys that end up around there that are on that are available, like the Mark Ingrams, Philip Lindsay's, James White's.
I don't want to take those guys over DJ Moore.
So we'll see what comes back at 5-2. 5-2, my ideal comeback here would be OJ Howard.
I kind of still like Ingram. I know, even though I'm like the biggest guy ever on Justice Hill, I like still kind of like Ingram.
I think there's obviously routes for
them both to be good.
For them both to be good, and I think there's routes for them both to be good and Lamar to be good, because the thing about Baltimore is they have the ability to rack up tons of plays. So OJ Howard did come back, and since we have two running backs already and no tight ends, I think that's the route that I'm going to go. Knowing that the middle rounds are going to be dedicated to the quarterback wide receiver. So if I didn't take Howard here,
you weren't going to get him
like at all, like until post 10 rounds. And so that gets dicey for me. So the start is now David Johnson, Damian Williams, T.Y. Hilton, DJ Moore, and OJ Howard through five rounds. So this is where we got to hope that Christian Kirk lasts till late six.
It's not a guarantee.
The question is, if Christian Kirk does not last till late six, do we pivot away from the Arizona stack?
No, because then you just go Fitzgerald in the eighth, and then you take RSJ or Keyshawn Johnson with your 18th pick.
Okay. So the other idea is you could go back to that Cam stack because we have DJ Moore. You could take Samuel in that like late six, early seven area. So just kind of thinking through ways that, like, if we don't get the ideal situation here, because it is you need to be somewhat flexible, knowing that you might get snake bit on trying to fill out the stack that you're going for. I had this happen, you know. I think we've joked that like there's not a lot that can frustrate you more than when you have the stack lined up and you're one pick away.
You miss the quarterback.
And you get sniped on the quarterback. I've had that happen a number of times. One time by somebody who had like Mahomes and took Goff, and I was just fuming. I was just tilting so hard because I think I had Cooks and Kupp and Henderson. And so I was like all loaded up, ready for Goff to finish it off, and went right before me.
My backup stack is generally like the Tampa. So you have Howard, so you can do Jameis as the backdoor stack. You have Moore, so you can do the Panther stack. And you can do there are two double backdoor ones that you can do after the 10th round that I really like, which is Prescott, Gallup, or Lamar, Marquise Brown.
Yeah, and that's why I end up having so much Lamar. I like taking Lamar anyway.
Yeah, but I like taking Lamar on his own too, also.
Yeah, but I end up with a lot of him stacked because I get to a point in the draft where I'm like, oh, I just missed out on my stack. Let me take Lamar and try to reset another stack.
Yeah.
Kind of like pivoting from one idea to the next mid-draft. So we're still late five here. Mark Ingram actually went 5-7. That's pretty late for him.
I have a question for you. Where are you at on Josh Jacobs? I think that Josh Jacobs is like the perfect anti-fragile pick because he's like maybe not that good and plays on a team that's not that good, but his 90th percentile season is like blows away everyone else he's being drafted next to.
So if you remember when we first did this, we talked about Josh Jacobs a little bit and you were like, oh yeah, I like to take him in the third round or whatever. And I was like, you don't have to, in my experience, he gets there often
to the fourth
into the early fourth. And I think at that point, you know, it's him and there's like Brandon Cooks that I like in terms of the early fourth. And there's a lot of guys I don't like.
Yeah.
So, or I shouldn't say I don't like, I just don't, I'm not excited to draft.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a lot of Josh Jacobs exposure early on with him as that like early fourth round pick. And I still think early fourth, mid fourth is a great spot for him. I think the third personally is too early. But I think, you know, he's got all the pathways to lots of volume. And we've seen some snippets about coaching staff talking about like trying to maybe use him in like an Alvin Kamara type role. So I think if they're smart about trying to get him the ball in space specifically, and we know Derek Carr is very comfortable dumping the ball off last year.
Guy loves to check down.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of pathways for him to be successful. And there's really not a lot of competition. I mean, Doug Martin just hasn't really had juice for 3 or 4 years now. So,
and Jalen Richard is a vaccine truther. It's just a weird thing for a running back to be.
It is. I mean, it's a weird thing for anyone to be.
But
yeah, I think, and he doesn't have the physical size to really hold up, you know, for any sort of meaningful workload. So we are 5 picks away and Christian Kirk is still available. We're holding out hope that Siege doesn't scoop us. 4 picks away. Still,
it's such a sweat. Like waiting for your dude to get there.
He did not get to us.
Oh.
So the question is, like, what are we doing with this pick now? Now we're gonna have the Sammy Watkins is gonna be available to us, where I have like all the Sammy Watkins in the world, or we could pivot to the Curtis Samuel, knowing that we can reach on Cam. Like late 8, Cam is always there.
Yeah.
Early on, so we could pivot to that.
I'm cool with that. I mean, I also am still cool taking Kyler or whatever, but we don't have to now.
I'm less excited about the Kyler stacks without Kirk. I really think
You think Kirk is the one who's just going to be. I mean, I think the probability suggests he, like, DJ and Kirk are probably going to be the smash guys, and then Fitzgerald and the other guys will just contribute.
But 6.11, Kenyon Drake is still there. Sammy Watkins, Dante Pettis. You know, that kind of group.
Ugh, Dante Pettis.
Who do you want to take here?
Let's say you want to do Samuel?
We'll take Samuel, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I got him. All right, so we're setting up that stack well. We're up in 2 picks, so we'll still have a chance to get Sammy Watkins or Kenyon Drake. And we're talking early 7 now for these guys, which I think is pretty good value. Or Latavius Murray if we wanted to go that route. Or maybe Latavius got snagged. Yeah, Latavius got snagged. So, yeah, I think it's Sammy Watkins or Kenyon Drake up next. We have both of them available to us.
Well, I am not a huge Kenyon Drake guy, but this is sort of like the right range for him probably.
As a running back 3, I just can't stop taking Sammy Watkins. I have a whole Sammy Watkins issue.
Yeah, maybe it's time to let it go.
So, Kenyon Drake?
Yeah. Kenyon Drake.
Okay. So that'll probably also get me off Kenny Stills later too, which will start reducing some of my Kenny Stills ownership, because I generally am not trying to load up on Dolphins, multiple Dolphins skill set players in my best ball lineups.
What if Fitzmagic just has like a crazy year, 4,400 passing yards?
Well, I'll tell you, if that happens, one of my best ball teams that has Fitzmagic.
Did you stack him with Stills?
It's got to be stacked with Stills. I mean, I have Stills on like 55% of my team, so there's a pretty good chance. There's a pretty good chance it's stacked up.
I've like for real tried to make the Dolphins look worse in our projections, but it's just like it's a tough scene trying to like I don't. These dudes are just free. Like really, other than Drake, and Drake's ADP is sliding back the other way now.
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't know. Have you started taking Ballage? I take Ballage a lot. I was taking him before.
See, I'm okay with him in 11.
Yeah.
Been going before then.
Yeah.
And when he's going in like 9, 10, first of all, that's an area that I'm often taking quarterbacks, or the one guy that if he slips to 9 that I take is Royce Freeman. And
yeah, I like Freeman a lot.
I can't come up with a good argument for why I'd take Ballage ahead of Royce Freeman. I think it's unlikely that both are probably going to be on teams that aren't that great.
Yeah.
I think it's very likely that Freeman is the better runner, even though that doesn't really matter a ton. I think it would be more likely that he'd get goal line work than Bellage.
Well, the team is just so much more invested in him. They spent a real pick. I believe right. Bellage was a seventh rounder.
Right. So I have a hard time with Bellage where he's going right now, I guess is what I'd say. When he gets into the 11th, I'm totally fine with that, but I haven't had it happen very often.
Bummed out that my dear
that news hit and the ADP
instant
very quickly to that.
Yeah.
It's interesting how some news hits and ADPs don't really react and some hits and they react really, really quickly. But that one
it's like people were waiting for the news, like the confirmation either way.
Nobody wanted to take Kenyon Drake. Is really what this was. And everybody wants a potential starting running back in the double digit rounds. Especially Colin Drew, if it's the Tampa Bay running backs.
Man, if Peyton Barber has a good season, Drew Bee is going to be – if Peyton Barber and Kenny Stills finish in the top 24 of fantasy scoring for their position, Colin Drew is going to have a very good best ball season.
I think the thing we need to figure out is if Tampa Bay has any primetime games in weeks 13 through 16 where there's going to be a showdown slate coupled with a best ball champion playoff week. Because we know exactly how that's going to go then. We know we should be loading up on Peyton Barber captain spots, and Drew Bee's just going to be, just swimming Scrooge McDuck style in the money pit.
Through all the dollars.
So we're into the mid-8 now, about 7 picks away. I feel pretty confident, whether it's either the second-to-last pick in 8 or the second pick in 9, that Cam is usually there. The only guy that I would take above Cam in late 8 right now is Corey Davis if he got to us. But that's the only guy. Every other skill guy I would take Cam above and then just figure it out after that. But that's kind of my plan here in this round. And oftentimes in 8 is around where Corey Davis is going now. And I know Anthony had a piece looking at potential – kind of volume, hog, breakout receivers who are inefficient.
Yeah.
Corey Davis was the one that was identified that I think most of us resonate with, but also identified Zay Jones.
I've started to take Zay Jones now, and so because I was taking Robert Foster before anyways, but if Zay Jones is just going to play over him, might as well take Zay Jones. I mean, Robert Foster was like not a prospect. It was like crazy that he was an NFL player for a while.
I thought he was the guy that was recruited by Alabama. Then, like, something happened at Alabama and his draft stock, like, plummeted. And then, like, he caught on with the Bills and then, like, went nuts. So I thought there was, like, some level of pedigree to him, but maybe I'm wrong there.
I mean, I guess I don't know about that. I just know his stats. He had, like, a 5% market share at Alabama.
Yeah, I thought something happened. Like, he got suspended or hurt. I thought something happened to him there. On deck, Corey Davis and Royce Freeman and Cam are all there. Corey Davis goes right before us. So I will take Cam, and we have our double stack.
There we go.
So there we go. We did not execute the stack. We kind of came in hoping this, but then CMC went before. Now, in retrospect, I wish we didn't take David Johnson, but that's totally fine. Like, I don't think that's a big loss in equity. And it's probably a little bit more of a diverse lineup build anyway. And we ended up having to pivot to the DJ Moore, Curtis Samuel, Cam Newton stack. So we have that all lined up. And Royce Freeman is there at 9.2.
Is Jameis still there?
Jameis is there as well. So
Jameis Howard.
So all right, let's do it. Jameis Howard. There we go.
So now we can just pound running back wide receiver.
You know what we just did?
What did we do?
The Jameis Cam double bye week. I've done this like 3 times with Jameis Cam and with someone else with the 12s. The Rivers and Kyler or something like that, maybe. I don't know. But
that's a coffin.
So looking back, I regret quickly clicking Jameis and being excited about Jameis Howard.
So now we have to take like Andy Dalton.
This is how you end up with the exposure that I have to these third quarterbacks.
To these quarterbacks.
You make this mistake. So looking back there, I wish I had taken Royce Freeman as a fourth running back. And then that would have allowed me to really pound out wide receivers, because we're behind at the wide receiver position. Just three wide receivers through nine rounds now is way behind usually where I like to be, especially when our first wide receiver is T.Y. Hilton. So I'd say this is going to be one of the shakier best ball drafts I've done.
It's a unique, construction though, Drew.
It is. It is a unique construction, but not optimal when you're burning a quarterback slot. So we'll have to see.
I mean, we're just going to have to take a bad quarterback over Adrian Peterson or whatever. Worst things have happened. It doesn't shake me that much because we have a good tight end. So it means you only take one other tight end, and I like to do the right. 2-6-7-3 anyway. So it's not that big of a deal to me.
Well, it shakes me a little bit because I usually like to do the 2-6-8-2. And since we don't have a great
wide receiver group
start, dropping down to a seventh wide receiver makes me a little bit shaky.
I mean, we could just go five running backs then.
Yeah, we might have to, which is viable with the first three that we have.
Yeah.
With David Johnson and Damian Williams and Kenyon Drake. So we just take
Deion Lewis and Justice Hill and call it a day.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, probably. Yeah, probably. Yeah, something like that. This is where this will be a unique roster build for me for sure, because I'm usually not taking wide receivers in 10. So in round 10, who are you looking at from a wide receiver perspective?
That's the thing, is that it's gross there. There's not really anyone that I really like there, right? You know, like kind of like picks like 110 to 130.
That's why I'm often taking quarterbacks in this range, why I'm often taking Lamar. Because, like, I feel more comfortable with the roster builds that lead me through that path.
Yeah. No, it is. That is, like, a weird situation to be in.
A little bit of a dead zone. We'll see. We're six picks away. The top of the queue right now is Drew Brees, Dante Moncrief, Jalen Samuels, Russell Wilson, Peyton Barber, N'Keal Harry, Anthony Miller, DK Metcalf.
I guess it would be, like, Anthony Miller, probably. That's the guy that I kind of like the most there.
Man, this team's not going to be good. I'm going to be honest.
Tough scene.
This team's not going to be good. I think we made a little bit of maybe a fatal mistake there on that Jameis. I get so excited.
Fatal mistake.
The stacks. I get so excited to make the stacks sometimes.
Yeah, you make the stack and then you're tilting.
And then you're like, oh, I didn't check the bye week situation. Not ideal.
So Moncrief is gone, you said already?
We're three picks away and he's still there.
Moncrief then. That's easy.
Well, he's three picks away and he's two picks away. He's the top guy in the queue, so I don't know if he'll get to us. If not, there's Jalen Samuels and there's Peyton Barber at running back that we could take our fourth running back. And with all the Tampa Bay exposure, I kind of don't mind Barber.
Sure.
More correlation.
Yeah.
Although I think I prefer Samuels more in terms of overall value.
I mean, that's reasonable.
But Josh Gordon just went 10.9.
Yeah, it's time. It's Josh Gordon season. He applied for reinstatement.
10.9 seems early.
Seems a little
early. I don't know. People are drafting Kareem Hunt around there. All right, Moncrief made it back to us. So you got Moncrief.
See, you thought this draft was going to be bad, but now it's good.
No, I'm still pretty confident it's going to be bad. One of the challenges we have now is we've drafted 10 players, and six of them have week 7 byes, including three receivers.
That's fine.
So we're going to have to get receiver bulk to be able to cover week 7 and quarterback bulk to cover week 7. So, yeah. Yeah, this is going to be
interesting. So
we're on deck, and we can get Jalen Samuels or Peyton Barber or Anthony Miller with the next pick.
I guess probably to avoid the bye week stuff, you probably want Jalen, right? Or Miller.
Well, Jalen is the same bye week.
Oh, yeah. So So Miller, then, I guess.
So we could either go Barber for the onslaught. The week seven running back is not as big of an issue because we have no week seven running backs. So you could go Barber for the onslaught or Samuels because we like him, or Miller just for wide receiver diversification.
I would probably go Miller.
Okay. All right. So that gives us five wide receivers, three have bye week seven, two have bye week six. I had one draft the other day that I had eight wide receivers all with different bye weeks, and I got to be honest, it felt like a masterpiece.
A masterpiece. That's how it's done.
Just knowing that every week I'd have at least seven wide receivers available to score points felt really good. Felt like I'm going to be able to connect on three of those seven most weeks.
Every week. Sure, yeah. Score.
And I don't look at the bye weeks as anything other than like trying to break ties with stuff. But when it just naturally happens like that, it feels glorious.
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, that's how championships are made.
That's how they're won right there. That and you know, drafting very late at night when people might be inebriated.
When people have been imbibing.
In the 25s and the 5s. The 125s, I'm telling you, the sharks are lurking late at night.
Yeah, because there's nothing to degen on late at night. Until DraftKings adds, like, Malaysian League basketball, there's just nothing to grind that late.
Yeah.
That's really the next step for DraftKings, is for them to find a way to add something for people to play at night. Like, right now, the only thing to grind in terms of lineups at night is Golf Showdown.
Yeah, so they need, like, Asian Tour PGA, or Asian, not PGA, Asian Tour Golf, like, DFS.
Yeah. I mean, they haven't
even... Euro Tour Golf, you get that for a few days a week, but...
Yeah, but they haven't even added Web Tour yet, so I'm not encouraged about them offering other stuff. The Corn Ferry Tour, my bad.
Corn Ferry Tour?
That's what it's called now.
Don't even know what that is.
Dude, you haven't been in PGA chat in a long time.
I haven't been playing as much PGA this summer. And so I haven't been, I found that playing PGA had a couple effects on me that were not great for productivity. Mostly Thursday and Friday during the day, I was
watching golf,
sweating golf and just like not being a very productive employee. So I got very corporate and decided to cut down on PGA. And that PGA Slack chat, that place is out of control, man. Run by
cool. I find that it just makes me angry. I find that playing golf DFS just makes me upset.
The thing is, people with golf DFS, they have the wrong expectations because they go into every hole expecting birdie.
A birdie, yeah.
Which happens like, you know, 10 to 15% of the time.
More life lessons from Drew. Expectation. Yeah.
And their baseline expectation was par, and they were like, all right, we got a par. That's great. You wouldn't see as much tilting, but.
That's like me playing actual golf. My baseline expectation is a par, and then I tilt it when it's worse than par.
Right, exactly. And you're not a scratch golfer, so your baseline expectation should not be a par.
Yeah. All right, where are we at?
We're at the end of the beginning of round 12, so we're 10 picks away. This is usually, like, round 12 is usually my Justice Hill time.
It's Justice Hill time.
It's usually my Justice Hill time.
Probably Justice Hill, Dion Lewis back-to-back here.
To close out the running back spot. We'll see what's there. Wide receivers. I will say Michael Gallup is interesting. He's still hanging around for this team because he does not have a bye week 6 or 7. Right now, I'd prefer to draft wide receivers that don't have bye week 6 or 7.
Yeah, let's take Gallup then. I love Michael Gallup. Feels like every Dallas Cowboy is getting talked up and everyone's talking about how great the Dallas offense looks and no one's bothering to talk up Michael Gallup when he has like no competition for snaps. They have no one on the roster who can push him off the field.
Did he do anything last year? I feel like people were like I feel like CSU played him like 17 straight weeks and.
Well, so.
Like, you know, when you have like the nicotine patch when you're trying to quit smoking, I think the nicotine patch for Amari Cooper is Michael Gallup. And I think CSU like tried the patch for like a few months, didn't really stick.
The thing with Gallup is he was like really miscast. He's not a deep threat wide receiver, but they played him in the preseason role that they had carved out for Deontay Thompson, who runs really fast. And Gallup is more like a DeAndre Hopkins size, like 6'1", 210, like kind of like running back sized almost.
So you're saying they should flip these roles and Cooper should be the guy stretching the field?
I'm saying, Randall Cobb probably should be that guy.
Oh my God. Now. Randall Cobb. Does he even run anymore? I thought he just like kind of limps around.
He's fine. And they got Tavon too. Tavon's fast.
Oh my God.
Dallas is going to be good. Dallas is going to be good this year.
Like you've slowly like melted back into a Dallas Cowboys homer over the course of the offseason.
Oh, this Kellen Moore stuff is intoxicating. They're talking about this offense like it's going to be like
Gallup goes right before us. So sniped again. We will take
tilt. So what wide receivers are on the board?
John Brown, Kenny Stills, Devontae Parker. I mean, I can't do the Kenny Stills thing. I can't. I need to start toning myself.
Okay,
down.
Let's go. Let's go, Devontae Parker. Then that's like a natural hedge.
Wait, what are we doing?
That's a hedge.
It is a hedge. It's also
no one loves hedging more than you.
It's also two Dolphins skill players, which I don't really love. What about a tight end too here? What about a Kyle Rudolph, a Jordan Reed, Dallas Goedert? Or Deion Lewis.
No, I like Kyle Rudolph.
Kyle Rudolph. Super boring, but we won't have to deal with a really crummy tight end later because we know we're going to take a third quarterback to fill that bye week that we messed up.
Yeah.
So these podcasts are great, right? These are letting the people know at home that, you know, even you can listen to a guy who claims he does this professionally make terrible mistakes mid-draft.
Make terrible bye week mistakes?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it can happen to anyone. I wonder how much, because like, I do these drafts like four or five at a time because that's just the only way that I could get that much volume in. Like, because I can't just be doing these all day, but I also don't want to carve out 6 hours a day to do them. So I bet that I have some teams like that where the bye week situations are just horrible and I probably didn't even notice.
I can't imagine. I mean, the amount of stimulus that you need in your day that you're doing 3, 4, 5 of these at a time.
I don't need the stimulus. It's that I want to get to a certain number of these drafts, and I can't just be doing the drafts all day long. So the only logical answer is to multi-table them. Do you see what I'm saying?
Gotcha. This team, we've really backed ourselves into quite the corner too, because we took DJ, we really shouldn't take Chase Edmonds.
Yeah.
We've kind of limited our
we've got to take Alexander Mattison or Devin Singletary.
Yeah, Madison's gone. Deion Lewis is gone.
Singletary still there?
Ito's still there forever. Oh. Yeah, Ito's always there. I feel like this draft season I'm just like texting Ito, you up?
Nothing has even happened though. Like this fall.
It's like the 15th round and I'm just shooting a text to Ito Smith, you up?
The thing about Ito is that nothing has even happened. Brian Hill had one good play in the Hall of Fame game, and Ito Smith's ADP is four rounds later. Like, that is like a prime example of a market overreaction. Look,
there have been a lot of coaching quotes about that backfield not being settled beyond Devontae Freeman. So I wouldn't say nothing has happened. Like, there have been active coaching quotes about no one really standing apart, winning that job.
There's active quotes about everything. Coaches just say stuff. Go, oh, we want to give Tavon Austin 12 to 24 touches a game. Oh, Le'Veon Bell can get 500 touches this year. We want to give 20 carries to Frank Gore and Kenyon Drake both in each game. It's like coaches just say stuff.
They do just say stuff. I agree, but I'm just saying there's more than just like a preseason carry that is kind of moving the needle on those guys.
Donta Foreman light years ahead of where he was the year before. Yeah, four days later.
That was like the Marquise Goodwin reports.
No, it makes me think that Foreman did something like for him, because there was no rumors, and this is a weird time to be cut too, because I believe his deal is already guaranteed for the year or whatever. So like his money's going to count against the salary cap for sure.
Hmm.
It's a very weird time to be cut. It's before the first preseason game, but after camp has started.
All right, so we're approaching late 14 here. We've still got Ito on the board, Devontae Parker still on the board, Mohamed Sanu on the board, Mecole Hardman, Deshaun Hamilton, Marquise Goodwin. All guys that I've driven their ADPs up. Your boy Tony Pollard.
Oh, Pollard is still there? We have four running backs?
Pollard is there. We have four running backs. It's a little bit of a shaky four running backs. Like, Pollard on a five running back team, you're good with?
I'm very high on
on
Tony Pollard.
Okay.
The Cowboys are also pretty high on Tony Pollard, per my sources.
Oh, I mean, shout out to people who have sources.
Gotta love it.
People in this best ball draft that I'm in that have sources. Shout out
to them.
Three picks away. Ito did go, so we're relieved.
Oh, rest in peace, Ito Smith.
He was not up when I texted.
You gotta take Pollard here.
Devontae Parker goes.
Pollard, and then we just go three more wide receivers.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. And then the last ditch effort at quarterback. Man, this team's bad. I mean, it's like the players are right. The roster construction is just
roster construction didn't end up optimal.
Not what you're looking to do.
But we just talked to Leone about the value in getting weird in these things.
Right. So I'll blame this on Leone. I feel comfortable blaming things on Leone. So that'll work.
I mean, Pollard
is ours.
Tony Pollard.
We have five running backs and two sets of the same bye weeks. So we're really not optimizing bye week roster construction here, but it is what it is. We will, with our next pick, we will get one of Deshaun Hamilton or Marquise Goodwin as our wide receiver six.
Do we need to take the quarterback now?
No, God, no.
I don't have any experience taking quarterbacks this late.
Let me tell you about quarterbacks after round 16. Let me talk to you about
please
how you go about quarterbacks after round 16. I just drafted another share of Marquise Goodwin, which let's really hope that he's not going to cut, because that would really end my best ball season quickly. Between that and if he gets cut, and if the Dolphins owner turns on Kenny Stills, this best ball season is going to end very quickly for this guy.
I mean, so number one list of things that would ruin the best ball teams I've already drafted. One, Ito Smith getting cut. That would probably be the worst. Second would be Kenny Stills getting hurt, cut, or benched. And the third would be the Arizona Cardinals just being flat out bad.
Cardinals replicating their 2018 season.
Yeah, these things would be quite bad for me.
For me, it would be number one would be if anything happens to the Baltimore Ravens, just in general. Like, if things really
like if the stadium just, like, collapsed in, like, quicksand.
Yeah. I mean, if something horrible happened. I mean, I've lost money in DFS on earthquakes. I've lost money on elevator fires. Lost money on roof leaks. So if anything horrible happened to the Baltimore Ravens, during key moments of the football season, that would derail me very quickly.
Okay.
Then I would say, you know, a combo between Kenny Stills getting thrown off the team or Sammy Watkins has foot soreness.
The first time you get a report about Watkins, like, taking practices off, you're going to need like a big green tea to calm down.
Yeah. Going to have a meditation session after that.
I'm waiting for the first beat writer to tweet, like, oh, Sammy Watkins limped off after practice. He's icing his foot on the sideline right now.
All those teams that you drafted Mecole Hardman in the top 10 rounds because of the Tyreek suspension news, they're going to be live again, just like that.
That's actually – I have outs for Mecole Hardman, just because there's about a 0% chance that Watkins plays 16 games, so I have outs. Imagine this, Dink. Imagine a world where Watkins plays 15 healthy games to help out all my teams, but then in week 16, he's out, and Mecole Hardman has, like, four targets, 140 yards, and two touchdowns.
That would be very tilting for you. That would be, like, all your Hardman teams wouldn't have gotten there. and then all your walking
teams. Oh no, I triple handcuffs, obviously.
Oh, you got it all?
No. there's like no way that would benefit anyone.
No, that would be very bad.
Maybe Eric Beamfor has that team somewhere. He probably does. He only stacks like four teams. Really interesting strategy.
I think these strategies are all dependent on like how many entries you're trying to have in these things too.
Yeah.
I'm in the 50s now. So I'm on pace to probably get close to 100. And that's why I'm starting to try to like moderate my exposure some on the players that I'm really heavy on, because then I know I'll end them in the 30s, 40s instead of in the 50s, 60s where I'm at now. I was hoping that ADP would kind of move against me on some of these guys and I'd feel really sharp because I'd be like, oh, I've got an average cost on this guy of this, but that hasn't happened. Nobody wants to draft Kenny Stills. So,
which is just weird because some of the guys that like we've been really heavily promoting have moved up, like Justice Hill, so much more expensive than he was, you know.
Where were you getting Justice Hill before? Because he's been like
before I wrote that article, I could get him in like the 16th round.
That's incredible.
Yeah, that's, he was the same as Mike Davis or whatever before that article.
Yeah, that's really good value. One guy that is hanging around here, I don't think he'll make it all six picks because he's the top in ADP, is Mohamed Sanu, who I would not mind for this team.
Yeah, I mean, he just like that's just always a boring guy.
We're just at that point in the draft where
we need guys who will play.
It's wide receiver seven, and we, you know, the top of the wide receiver board now is Sanu, Adam Humphries, Taylor Gabriel, Callaway, Randall Cobb, Trey Quinn, Ted Ginn, Nelson.
Oh, Trey Quinn is great. Trey Quinn, I'd love taking him.
Yeah, I know. You have a lot of Trey Quinn. You know, if you're going to take Trey Quinn and you're going to take Chris Thompson late, might as well take Dwayne Haskins.
Might as well take Haskins.
Apparently the quarterback three for Washington right now.
I mean, you forgot. You just straight up forgot about Colt McCoy.
I forgot Colt McCoy existed. So that team had a double bye week 12, I think it was. And I still think, like, I was trying to figure out who would most likely be playing week 12. And my options were, like, Fitz or Haskins.
No, it's Haskins.
And I thought it was Haskins for sure. So that's how I ended up with my one share of Haskins.
I believe our projections for the Washington quarterbacks have 8 games for Keenum, 4 for McCoy, and 4 for Haskins.
I'm just going to miss that cutoff then by the projections. He'll be playing.
Oh, yeah, because of the bye week. Yeah, you would. You'd just miss it. I thought, like, oh, no, that's perfect. Wow, wouldn't that be great? He starts week 13.
That would be hilarious. So I just took Taylor Gabriel, which he was the best receiver left, but we have Anthony Miller, and we now have 3 wide receivers on week 6 bye and 3 wide receivers on week 7 bye. And so
should we just run this podcast back tomorrow and try and do something helpful for the people? Because I don't know if they – I guess they've learned how to try and mitigate the disaster of the double quarterback bye.
I mean, we might need to just run this podcast back. This is bad. This is not good.
It's good stuff.
Not good at all. Trey Quinn does not have a bye week that conflicts. We will take him.
Welcome to the Trey Quinn Club. This is an exclusive club. People, only the sharps know about Trey Quinn.
I have a lot of Trey Quinn. I have, maybe not a lot. I have 13%.
I'm going to go look at his projection for us right now. I might be low on him in our projections. If I'm drafting him this much and you are not drafting him as often, that probably means that his projection is not where it needs to be.
Well, I rarely take
wide receivers in that round.
Last round. I'm usually filled up on wide receivers before then. For me, that last round is reserved for quarterbacks. No, I'm kidding. It's mostly reserved for running backs. Usually that's what I'm taking. For a long time, it was Darwin Thompson and Malcolm Brown.
Can't quite get him there anymore, though.
No, Darwin's going a little bit earlier now. He just went 17-5 in this one to Siege.
To the Siege. Man, Washington targets. You want to talk about an absolute nightmare to project.
Yeah.
I have 8 guys with over 8% market share of that passing offense.
Yeah, I mean, it's a mess. I think he's the guy that is most stable, honestly.
I have the guys who are in.
they don't really have a lot of competition for the slot role there.
No, the guys who I have in double digits are Reed, Quinn, and Thompson, and then a bunch of guys in between 5 and 9%.
Doxson, Richardson, McLaurin.
Yeah, like who could honestly with a straight face tell you they have the ability to project the targets between Harmon, Doxson, McLaurin, Brian Quick, and also Vernon Davis still there?
Yeah.
Like, who knows?
So 13 picks away in the quarterback board is Dalton, Mariota, Joe Flacco, Haskins, Eli, Rosen.
The market is a little bit different this year. Those guys would not have lasted into the 18th round last year. Those guys were gone by like the 15th, 16th round last year. So we'll see. A lot of people were taking three quarterbacks last year.
Yeah, I agree with that. The thing that's going to be tricky here for me is if Dalton and Mariota go, because the bye week that we're trying to cover is relatively early in the season, it's kind of hard to figure out. I think Flacco would probably be most guaranteed to be starting still week 7.
Well, let me tell you this. Drew Lock is not ready to go. And the coaching staff in Denver doesn't think he's ready to go either.
Okay. So we've got an out there. Looking at the team construction, everybody has two quarterbacks that's in front of me. So I feel like I might be able to get one of Dalton or Mariota and close this out. But this is not this has not been a great team.
Well, we can run it back tomorrow if you want.
This feels like a sixth place team. It feels like a totally uninteresting.
I want your worst team, like the team that you just absolutely hated, to be the team you get through to like the final 26.
I mean, that might be this one, honestly.
I bet you've drafted worse. Just on the averages, Dink. It's very unlikely that just at a random moment
Let me find the draft. Like, I'll just start clicking the bad quarterbacks that I have. Let's see what that draft looked like. So the Haskins draft was a Mahomes onslaught. With Hardman
with Kelsey.
Hardman, Watkins, Kelsey.
I mean, yeah, it's probably just gonna be a good team.
And yeah. That team, yeah, so my Haskins team is not a disaster. Let's see. I've got a Fitzpatrick team. Let's see what that team looks like. That team's Lamar and Fitz. It's not a great team. It's
Lamar and Fitz are your two quarterbacks.
Yeah,
I'm gonna go out on the limb and say that's not a very good team.
So my running backs are Kamara, Lamar Miller, Daryl Henderson, Justice Hill, Ito Smith, Darwin Thompson. My wide receivers are Mike Evans, Lockett, Alshon, Moncrief, Stills, Allison, Paris Campbell, Marquise Brown. My tight ends are Kittle and Howard.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine, I guess.
It's not a great team, but it's like, I don't think it's this discernibly worse than this team that we've just drafted.
I don't know if anything would be. When I draft teams today, I'm going to try and do better than that.
I mean, that's a great bar to set.
Honestly, realizing that you can't draft Kyler Jameis teams with two quarterbacks is like...
No, you I'm can sure. draft Kyler Jameis. Isn't it's Kyler,
oh, it's Kyler Cam, Rivers. It's Cam and Jameis you can't do.
Yeah. Cam Jameis, that is the problem. And you'd think by now I would stop making this mistake, but I just haven't.
I bet I don't have any of those two combined, but I know that I have at least one Kyler Mahomes team I did that with.
Marcus Mariota closes this out at 18.11.
Dink, man.
This team is bad. To recap, at quarterback, we've got Cam Jameis Mariota. At running back, David Johnson, Damian Williams, Kenyon Drake, Justice Hill, and Pollard. Wide receiver, T.Y. Hilton, D.J. Moore, Curtis Samuel, Moncrief, Anthony Miller, Taylor Gabriel, Marquise Goodwin, Trey Quinn, and tight end, O.J. Howard, Kyle Rudolph.
I honestly missed that you slipped Goodwin in there.
Yeah, of course I did. But it's just not a great team. It's not.
You should probably start drafting some, like, Debo Samuel, Jalen Hurd teams just to, like, kind of hedge yourself out a little bit.
I mean, at this point, we're just all in, baby, on Marquise Goodwin. I'm at 30%, 32% Marquise Goodwin.
Oh, that's fine.
Yeah. He is within my, he is my seventh highest owned wide receiver.
I mean, it's like,
do you think you could name the six in front of him?
Kenny Stills, Sammy Watkins, DJ Moore.
Yep.
I don't think I can name the other ones. I would know those three though for sure. Oh, Trey Quinn probably.
No.
Late Brown. Oh, Marquise Brown.
He is just below Marquise Goodwin.
Okay, I can't name the other
ones. These guys are not, they're not late round guys. They're all earlier mid round guys. The other three, if that helps. Think about what they're really like.
I was gonna say, because I kind of go like Cooper and Fuller and stuff there, which is kind of anti our projections.
So, Corey Davis.
Oh yeah.
Juju.
Oh well, that's crazy to be that exposed to Juju is pretty crazy.
I am picking at the end of drafts so frequently.
Yeah. Like,
I just am not getting early picks.
You know what? Here, let me look at mine. I bet Juju's pretty close to the top of mine too.
Brandon Cooks. A lot of my drafts end up with Juju early round two, Cooks early round four. Because I get that.
Who do you think are my five highest wide receivers?
So I would guess Kenny Stills.
He's number four.
I would guess.
Remember, this includes drafts from like May, like April.
Brandon Cooks.
Cooks is second.
Sammy Watkins.
No, because I stopped.
He should have been drafting Sammy when he was when Tyreek suspension news was there.
Yeah, I mean, I still have him at 15%, so it's not like I have none of him.
That's still I think that's still low relative to our projections. DJ Moore.
Yeah, he's number one.
Yeah, and then Trey Quinn, based on your guessing.
No, it's Godwin because of all those early drafts.
Oh yeah.
And then Amari Cooper, who is that's anti data.
Amari, you and CSU.
The Cowboys homerism is slowly creeping back into me.
I mean, I think there's worse guys in the industry to tie yourself to than CSU, right?
Yeah, the only like one of the five richest dudes who bothers playing daily fantasy still.
Yeah.
All right, well, guys, that's going to do it for us here. The Roto Experts Fantasy Football Podcast, another draft in the books. Not the best draft that Drew and I have ever had. We'll be back minimum next week, but maybe we'll just bless you with a little something else to redeem ourselves later this week. No promises on that, but of course, make sure to check out rotoexperts.com to access all of the projections that we are drafting these mostly good teams based off of. And I came out with two articles this week. The perfect draft, drafting 1 through 5, so those drafts where you get to start with an elite running back, and then the perfect draft, pick 6 through 12, so the drafts where you don't get to start with one of those elite running backs. And enjoy the website, and we will be back next week.